I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to welcome everybody tonight. I'm glad you came. Next on their agenda is roll call, and we do have all council members here tonight. And we go to 1.4 citizen input. If you're here for the Transportation Benefit District public hearing, that'll happen shortly. So the citizen input is for items that are not related to that. So if there's some people here that'd like to speak to the council on something other than that, raise your hands, and then we'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, give us your name and address. Go ahead.
Maxine Taylor.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, and give us your name.
Maxine Taylor, 901 South Taylor Road, Othello, Washington. Mayor, I have a letter that I'd like to read into the record of the meeting tonight, and I have copies for you and all the council people.
Yeah, give them over to Debbie.
Character names, which some individuals may see as themselves, should not deny the writers or the newspapers their freedom of speech or the freedom of press. The political cartoon Pogo had a one-liner that states, "We have met the enemy and they is us." If we allow censorship of our local newspaper, that quote would surely describe us all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just for the citizens that are sitting here, we do not respond to the questions. We'll send a letter. That's why we ask for your name and address, because we don't know what we're going to be asked or anything like that. Hold it. Maxine?
Sir?
Is that the same thing, or what are you doing
yes,
here?
Yes, I didn't give them enough copies.
Okay.
Sorry.
So what we do is we send a letter then to Maxine, and she can put it in the paper if she wants to. That's fine. So. Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to address the council? Okay, Sean?
My My name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street. I'd like to read a letter dated April 16, 2012 to Mr. Michael Crozier regarding public disclosure request. Dear Mr. Crozier, pursuant to your public disclosure request with several parts dated 4 April 2012, I provide the following second response. Preliminarily, please be advised, city is required to respond to public records requests pursuant to Chapter 42.56 RCW. The city is not required to, nor does it routinely respond to requests for information or research. Number one, request to review and potential copying of any and all telephone records at the City Hall to include personal cell phone call documentation for the months October 2011 through April 2, 2012, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents relating to or concerning the numbers to which calls were made. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number two, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents for the Main Street project. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number three, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents which relate to the need for the immediate purchase of the Olympia Street easement. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number four, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents which relate to the paving of the alley between Broadway and First Avenue Main and Hemlock Streets. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number five, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that are communications concerning the loss of water sources or the diminishment of said water source for the City of Othello to include all records of well water levels in city well. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number six, request review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that are economic justifications, trade studies, analysis of the need for a transportation benefit district. We ask that you clarify this request and be specific as to what exact record you want to view. Number seven, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes that show communications between any city officials and Basin Publishing Company by any official of the city or their representatives or subcontractors. This record has been gathered and ready for your review. City Hall is open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We would ask that you let me know at least 30 minutes before you come to City Hall to make sure that staff is available. Number eight, request review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that show the annual income from the 1/2 cent sales tax implemented June 13, 1985, from 1985 to present. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number nine, request to review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that show what this 1/2 cent tax was spent on from the implementation of it through the present. Staff is gathering this records. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number 10, request review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that show the annually updated street plan from 1985 to present. Staff is gathering this record. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number 11, request review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that show the portion of reserves in the street program at the end of each year from 1985 to present. Staff is gathering this record. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number 12, request a review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that refer to a tape recording and minutes of the meeting on June 9, 1985. Staff is gathering this record. We will advise when all has been gathered. Number 13, request a review and potential copying of any and all reports, diaries, records, notes, memoranda, correspondence, computer disks, and other documents that show the monthly bills and cash disposition for years 2008 through 2010 inclusive. We ask that while you view the city records, you have no food or drink in the area. As we collect the information, we will notify you. Please be advised, you will still need to pick up and pay for a public records request you filed for on March 30, 2012. That cost is 45 cents. Sincerely, Debbie L. Kudrina, CMC, City Clerk, CC, Amy Sheldon, City Administrator, Catherine Kinnison, City Attorney, and I ask that this be entered into the official notes of tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, then I'll close the citizen input section. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Okay, Charles first. Ken Kaler second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Okay, then that passed unanimously. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved.
Okay, Dan first.
Second.
Gina seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passed unanimously. Okay, current business. 4.1, public hearing on transportation benefit district. I want to let everybody know that there has not been a decision made. All we are doing is gathering information. So there will be a public time for the citizens to speak, and I'll start the process right now. There's a legal process that we have to go through. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:12 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the establishment of a transportation benefit district. I will now ask the staff to present information. Debbie?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My first report is on the adoption of the 0.5% sales tax. At the June 10th, 1985 regular City Council meeting, the Council adopted Ordinance Number 722, which is up on your screens. This established the process to adopt a street improvement plan, and the ordinance provided for the intended use of the city's optional 0.5% sales tax. Whereas all of the funds from the 0.5% sales tax shall be used to fund the adopted street improvement plan, along with available general funds and grants. This ordinance is codified in OMC Chapter 11.2 and has not been amended and is still in effect. My second report is on the adoption of the utility tax rate ordinance. At the May 24th, 1999 regular council meeting, the council adopted ordinance number 1033, which set the utility tax rate for 3 years. This is codified in OMC Chapter 3.02.060 and has been amended. This is the first rate. The provisions in the ordinance included the first rate was set at 4.5%. The next year it rose to 6%, and then it went back to 3%. This was known to some as the 6% was to sunset or reduced back to the 3%. At the September 27, 1999 regular City Council meeting, the Council adopted Ordinance 1040, which amended Ordinance Number 1033. It changed two of the original dates of the taxation amounts, and you'll see that in B and C. The next ordinance, 1099. At the October 22nd, 2001 regular City Council meeting, the Council adopted Ordinance Number 1099, which amended the use of the funds and eliminated the sunset clause on the 6% utility tax. So you can see that it amended Number C, which was to reduce it back down to the 3% or sunset, and it remained at the 6%. At the January 12, 2004 regular City Council meeting, the Council adopted Ordinance Number 1173. This changed the allocation of the utility tax to 50% to the general fund and 50% to capital expenditures and City Hall bond payments. This ordinance is still in effect.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. Mike, you next.
I'd like to do an overview of the funding and the expenditures for the street fund over a 10-year period from 2002 to 2011. This spreadsheet that's up here currently on the very left-hand side under description are the funding sources over the last 10 years. And then as you move to the right, it starts with year 2002 and works its way up to 2011. So you see the first item is the retail sales tax. And as you can see, it's been funded by retail sales tax for that entire period of time. Below that, there are three grants, a DOT grant, an STPE grant, and a TIB grant. And that was just for 2002. And then we have a motor vehicle fuel tax that is a part of our state share of revenue, and it goes on every year. And we have the Adams County Transportation Project, and they missed a year, but it's been, I think they actually doubled up in 2004, but but that goes on pretty much every year, and it's usually right around $40,000. Here's a Quadco grant that was in 2007. The Public Works allocation started in 2005, and it goes on every year now. This is investment interest, and that used to be a big thing. It's not very big anymore, but investment interest is consistent. We have other miscellaneous. There's some odds and ends in there that are broken down. We have a Public Works Trust Fund loan proceeds in 2006, a little over $500,000. In 2007, $27,750. In 2009, $427,500. And in 2011, $142,500. And then we have the, these are transfers from the street reserve fund into the street fund for projects. So that went on from 2002 through about 2008. And then these are Fund 105 reserves. And then down here is utility tax transfers. So for the first, 5 years, there were any transfers in 2002 to 2006. And then in 2007, for about 4 years, there were transfers into the street fund. And then the last thing is a washout. It's probably a grant.
Okay, I'll go to the next spreadsheet. Thank you, Debbie. This is the picture of the same year. On the left-hand side, you see the same year. But it does include expenditures. So you see the expenditures compared to the revenues for each year. So, for instance, in 2002, the expenditures were $1,442,000 and the revenue was $1,508,000. The difference was in favor of the revenue by $66,666. Our reserves at the end of that year were almost $200,000. And then it goes on through each year that way. Now down here in 2005, you see a negative difference. That means the expenditures exceeded the revenues by $59,000. So we started that year with $317,000 in reserves and finished that year with $258,000 in reserves. And then you see other negatives and you see the reserves being spent down. Now in 2008, our revenues exceeded expenditures by $295,000. That built our reserves up again to $504,000. And then we began spending down the reserves again. I believe I was going to look up a resolution. The city has a resolution that the street fund is supposed to have a minimum reserve in it. I think it's around $200,000. So if when you look at this, $200,000 is kind of an average. We want to start the new year with some money because we have to have money to pay bills and do other things in January. So we carry over a reserve for those reasons. I think I covered everything. Can you remember anything, Jim? This is a graph of the same, and it's exactly a graph of the numbers that I just showed you. So over here, in 2002, the brown bar is the expenditures, and the blue bar is the revenue. So in 2002, expenditures exceeded revenues. So you can just kind of see how things went. And it gives you kind of a graphic view of what's going on in the street fund. So, for instance, in 2007, there was obviously a lot of projects for the bar chart to be that high, again in 2008. One of the things that, of course, we're talking about tonight, this public hearing, is on the Transportation Business District. And there are some important issues about that. That whole issue that I would just like to touch on. There are basically, I think there's about four funding options, but there are two that are favorable to us. One of them is a $20 tab when you register your car or renew your tabs every year. The other option is a 0.2% sales tax. For either of those options, it's easy to think that we could just bring that money into the city and it'd be commingled with our other money and it would just kind of disappear. But that can't happen because it's against the law. When the money comes to the city, through our state share revenue, every month we get a statement from the state that tells us how much money they're transferring into our account and what each of the items are. This, for instance, if it was a 0.2% sales tax and it was for TBD, it would not be in with our other sales tax. It would be listed separately on their statement. It would be specifically for TBD. And this is very important, and it can only be spent on TBD. I think that's really important to know. The auditor, when he comes in every year, is going to audit our books, and he's going to make sure that the TBD money was spent on TBD. Okay? So I think that's important to know, and I just want to make a note of that. We have accounting measures that we take for that. We will actually create a fund called the TBD fund. All the revenue will go into that fund, and all the expenditures will be spent out of that fund. So we will track every penny and how it's used. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Mike. Eamon.
Good evening. You've had some historical reports tonight, one from our city clerk that identified the past ordinances that city councils have passed and identified where half-cent sales tax goes, how much of it goes to the street fund. You've had a historical 10-year perspective of financing on what has been spent, what revenue has been collected, what has been spent, and what has been spent on. We want to move now and kind of catch up to today's activity, and that is what is a transportation benefit district, and kind of walk through that. But before I do, I want to kind of go through a short litany of how we got here, to even consider the transportation benefit district. And that process followed this train of thought. The transportation benefit district idea is established by state law. As it floated around the cities, I watched it for several months. It floated around our local communities, and they considered it. After I watched several cities look at it and adopt it, I mentioned it to Mayor Tim Wilson and asked him if he wanted to bring that forward to the city council. The mayor wanted to make sure that the city council had all the information relative to any revenue source that the city has authority for. So the mayor put it on the agenda. We brought it to you several weeks ago, briefly gave you a discussion about what it is and what type of revenue source it is, and asked you, the council, do you want to continue this? Do you want to look at this further? You said yes. Let's put it in the process, which at the time you knew created a need for a public hearing. So you were concerned that the public had input and you heard the voice of the people relative to creating a TBD. So now let's talk about what a TBD is and how it is created, the function, and what the authority level is. First of all, it is a legislative grant of authority to cities as a way of creating revenue and not subject to initiative or referendum. That means the state legislature said, we don't have a lot of money anymore, but we want to make sure cities have the ability to do it themselves to keep the infrastructure at a level it should be, a standard. So they have given you the authority to do that by creating a transportation benefit district. So it's a quasi-municipal government entity, which means it's a corporation with independent taxing authority. But it is you, the council, that would sit on this board, but you would have an independent taxing authority. But how is it created? A transportation benefit district is created by first publishing a notice of public hearing in the paper, and you satisfied that at the last public hearing. The mayor asked if you wanted to hear further input from the public, and you said yes. So a second public hearing was scheduled for tonight, and that's what we're here for tonight. So you publish a notice of the public hearing, you hold a public hearing, and then if you desire, you adopt an ordinance creating a transportation benefit district. Now, as the mayor indicated, there's no decision asked of you tonight. It's just information from the public and the staff. Let's talk about the functions of the transportation benefit district. It is a governing board of the TBD, as we stated, is the Othello City Council. It serves as a separate government, much like a water district. In other words, you have a totally new taxing authority and ability. It conducts business independent of the city council. We couldn't meet like on a regular council meeting, adjourn and then go into a TBD meeting. You have to make it totally separate. Has the authority to exercise the statutory power set forth in chapter 36.73. And then the last major point is that there must be somebody to be the treasurer to account for and record and be responsible for the monies that, if you impose this, that will be collected. So the treasurer of the TBD shall be the city finance director, and that's in the state statute. Now, once a TBD is created, and there seems to be a little misconception on this, going around to different organizations and clubs and talking about this, there seemed to be a favor, people seem to be in favor of creating the 0.2% sales tax, but they were not in favor of creating the TBD. So we need to be clear that to impose the $20 tab fee or the 0.2% sales tax, that only has the authority from the TBD. So you must create the TBD first, and then they have the authority to impose up to $20 fee or ask the voters for a vote of the 0.2% sales tax. So subject to voter approval, if the TBD wants to do this, they can levy a one-year excise levy on property taxes. They can up to 0.2% sales tax, and these all go to the voters, remember. Annual vehicle fee above $20. And last time we discussed this, we talked about the $40 fee that the $20 may increase to. Well, that has failed, so we no longer consider the $40. It's $20 at this time. And vehicle tolls that don't apply to us. Now, some authority that the TBD has that is not subject to voter approval, and that's the annual vehicle fee up to $20 registered within the district. We'll talk about the district boundaries in just a minute. This fee is collected at the time of the vehicle license renewal. So we don't do that here. We don't have anything to do with it. It's when we go to the DOL, Department of Licensing, register our vehicles, it automatically comes up if you live in the district or not, and the fee is assessed at that time. Transportation impact fees on commercial industrial buildings, we don't have to worry about that one because we haven't done that yet. Some financial impacts. Cities across the state primarily look at a TBD as the most likely funding option being considered by several jurisdictions is a $20 license fee. There is, of course, a six-month delay in receiving or collection of those funds from the date of authorization in early January or whenever you authorize. Let's talk a little bit about what vehicles are affected and what the ratio is. If you look at the screen, we're not going to talk about the year 2012 because we're almost halfway through. So let's just look at 2013. The Othello population is 7420. If the $20 was imposed, it would be 100% of the year. We would receive about $129,000, call it $130,000. Now, of that, the state takes 1%. In other words, of the total year, $1,300. Which leaves the city as a net $128,550. Now that number is subject to change. It's an estimate only, and these numbers come from Department of Licensing. So from the Department of Licensing, we have our locator code number, which is 01-03 for Othello's taxi code. Of the vehicle subject to this fee or tax, whichever way the council decides to go, if they do. The number of vehicles in Othello would be 4,804. Now those numbers come from the State Department of Licensing. Just to break it down by month, we have January through December, and how many vehicles are registered per month, and there's a chart here that, for example, January, 9.6 of that number registers typically in January, and then you have February through December showing each percentage of vehicles that are taxed or registered to for their tax. Next. So the big question on everybody's mind and the most number of questions I receive is, well, what vehicles are subject to this? Are my vehicles subject to this $20 fee? The vehicles subject to it, I'm not going to read them all. The primary one is passenger vehicles, trucks weighing 6,000 pounds or less, motorcycles, commercial or passenger vehicles, and then some of these we don't have, house moving dollars, taxi cabs, but motorcycle trailers, private use trailers over 2,000 pounds, travel trailers, and then I apologize if you can't see the bottom one, it's mobile homes licensed as vehicles. So motor homes would be subject to the $20 fee or whatever the council decides to impose. So if those are the vehicles subject to the $20 fee, what vehicles are exempt? Particularly keen to our area is farm vehicles. Farm vehicles are exempt. Campers, and that's different from a motor home, it's licensed as a private vehicle. Off-road vehicles, snowmobiles, mopeds, commercial trailers, combination trailers, and the list goes on. Again, you can go to RCW 36 and find a complete list. I just pulled several out. Some benefits of establishing transportation benefit district are the revenues from the $20 license fee may reduce general fund subsidy of streets. And I say may because some cities support their street fund from the general fund. Most cities go, they collect this, the asset sales tax, goes in the general fund, and then into the street fund. We don't do it that way here. We collect the asset sales tax, and by your statute, it goes directly to the street fund. So it may, if you subsidize the street fund, and now you create another tax, which may alleviate the necessity to create or to garner money from the general fund. We just don't do it that way here. Funds from the citywide TBD, and this is the important one, are dedicated to maintain, preserve, construct city Othello transportation infrastructure. Cannot be used for anything else. As our finance director said, those monies are tracked, they're categorized, and audited that they were used for transportation improvements only. The annual $20 license fee is a flat rate, cannot be increased unless approved by the voters. Again, it goes back to the statutory authority of what you can impose and what you can send to the voters for their say. And then the last one creates a funding mechanism where there's a clear connection between user group, driver's vehicles, and use of the roadway network. That's the one that probably has the least weight to it, because the argument, I'm sure you're here tonight, is why should the citizens of Othello pay the $20 license tax when everybody around the surrounding area drive on our streets? You're penalizing us because we live here to keep the streets improved, but everybody outside the city drives on our streets anyway. So with that, I would like to say that the creation of a TBD, Transportation Benefit District, has become imminently more important. A new member of the State Transportation Board has sent us a note that basically says, the city will not receive any more funding from the state, grants or loans, unless the city itself has imposed all revenue sources that you have the authority to do. So a criteria in the application is going to be, have you imposed the TBD in the city? You don't get points for not having imposed that. So we become limited on our abilities to generate funds at the state level. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eamon. Terry and Mike?
I should apologize. Larry had hoped to be here. Larry Joyce hoped to be here tonight, but he had some pressing house repair issues and a contractor running loose in his house, so he couldn't get anybody to watch, so he asked me to come tonight. So, now, we wanted to talk just a little bit about the condition of your existing street network. Without really getting into TBDs and whatnot, it's evident that the city has a lot of streets. We've got about 40 miles of streets or so, the general number that we've been using. Of those, about 33 miles or so are paved, and Terry and the Public Works guys have gone out and they've rated each one of those streets by one of three criteria:
good,
fair, or poor. And what you can see here is that there's a map here of the existing street network. These are only paved streets, and what they rate would be good. There's about 15 miles or so of 40 miles that are in good shape. Fair being green, and about just a little under 9 miles or so of that are in fair condition. And then poor shape, those are delineated by the red lines. Those are just a little under 10 miles of that are in poor shape. So, what you can see from this map, I think some of the bigger arterials and the recent street work that the city has been undertaking are now shown as good streets. So the city is making some progress on improving the fair and poor condition roads. But what happens with streets and pavement over time is that they deteriorate, and again, you end up right back into a situation where you've got a lot of roads that need repair. Just some real brief estimates for how long that could take. Pavement management's not really an exact science, but most places generally say that, or most institutes and whatnot that have done studies on this, say that roads start to deteriorate fairly quickly once you hit about 20 years of life. So at about 20 years, they generally are saying if you've done no maintenance to them, they will deteriorate very quickly and you'll need to reconstruct the road. Now, there are some things that you can do along the way to increase the length of the life of a pavement. You can do a fog seal or a chip seal, which doesn't really offer very much structurally to the road, but what happens to deteriorate roads, and I can bore you with pavement science all day, I'm sure, but is that the oils in the asphalt break down and the pavement becomes rigid and then it breaks apart and creates cracks and potholes and that. So the idea with trying preventative maintenance is to prevent the roads from losing all of the oils in the asphalt and deteriorating to a brittle condition. In general, that starts to happen further on in the 20-year life cycle, towards about the 10-year mark or so. So you can perform some preventative maintenance by either chip sealing or fog sealing the road, which essentially puts another layer of asphalt on the road and helps to prevent the oils from breaking down and provides new oils to break down. Or in more extreme cases, you can grind off or overlay with a new layer of asphalt directly on the old road base, and that generally buys you even more time. You can do that whenever the road conditions warrant. Generally, a chip seal or fog seal will buy you anywhere from 5 to 7 years of life, additional life for the roadway, and an overlay will probably get you another 10 years, 10 to 15 years, depending on things like truck use and vehicle loadings and things. So that's probably enough for tonight. I'll let Terry explain more probably how he came up with the ratings.
Thank you, Mike.
Good evening, Council. Well, you see our road map there is pretty well color-coded. We've got a lot of cracks in the areas.
Terry.
We have quite a few cracks in this red area down in here. These red areas here are got tremendous wear, grooving, elevated cracking, longitudinal cracks, horizontal cracks, quite heavy, anywhere from 3/4 inch to 2.5 inches, and you can crack seal them, and you'll never catch up with them. They keep depressing as traffic rolls over and they start to pound down pretty soon you got a bump. 14th is back up in here, it's real bad. A little bit of 7th down here. You've got some on South Broadway. There's a few things that contribute to that. There's truck weight, the amount of traffic, the weather, studded tires. A lot of things contribute to that. But we need to do something with the streets that we have. Some of these streets in the areas over here, Large and Spruce, 20, maybe 30 years since they've had anything done to them streets. They got several cracks, a lot of up and downs in the road. Fog sealing is one way to protect the road surface. If you got micro cracks in the streets, it'll fill them. It'll seal them off so you don't get water in them and frost and they start to heave. It's just that there's a lot of traffic in town, a lot of truck traffic in town, and your streets are kind of taking their toll. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Okay, I will now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from the citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
My name is Dave Spurl, 862 South Crestline Road in Othello. Lived here in the Othello area for 49 years. A statement one man said a long time ago, taxes are the cost of civil living. And I believe that civil living will include infrastructure, good clean water, and good streets. I believe the citizens of Othello, all of them, would like smooth, nice streets, clean water, good infrastructure. I think any reasonable person would realize that in the last few years, the cost of labor, the cost of piping, the cost of asphalt has gone up dramatically, and we need to do something to close the gap. There are other towns in our area that unfortunately have not kept up even as well as we have, and it's really showing in some of those little towns. Since I don't live in the city, but I use the streets all the time, I really feel that the 2%, 0.2% sales tax would be more equitable because the surrounding people use the streets. And so I would encourage the council to come up with a plan to keep our streets safe, to keep them updated, and to make our city the town that we enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Anybody else? Sean?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm Sean Logan. I live at 1005 East Hamlet in Othello, and I'm the president of the Othello Chamber of Commerce. We spoke at the last meeting, and we had asked for some additional information, which I appreciate. You have closed the gap on a lot of that information. I'm looking at this particular map. And first of all, I want to give you about a 30,000 foot view of our position and then bring it down to a couple of the financial information that was presented and then our recommendation. When you look at the two maps that you had presented, the first of all, this one that happens to be on the screen, if you look at First Avenue, the whole street from Main Street south to Highway 26, it's a red street, which is in poor condition. That's the one of the main gateways into our community. And if you look at the future overlay map, which you have in 2012, 2013, and 2014, there's no color on that. So it doesn't appear that First Avenue is on your plan to pave or improve in the next 3 or 4 years. We'd like you to revisit that, if you would. Second, and a suggestion maybe would be to where you have some of these red areas over, do you have the pointer? Yeah, how do you work it? Oh, this button, okay. Okay, these areas right here, potentially, might possibly be exchanged for, wait a minute, I don't have this other map up. But you have some streets down here below between Main Street and south of town that you have scheduled to be paved over this next year. They're down in this area in here. Some of those could potentially, actually those two maps don't match up. But anyway, that's what I'm saying is maybe you could use some of this, these blocks, and do this as a priority, and then maybe reprioritize these to another year. The other thing the chamber would say is that, of course, we do realize that streets and the expenses are increasing. And we had a conversation about that at our last board meeting, and we would prefer the 0.2% sales tax increase because, as Mr. Spurl pointed out, it's more equitable to the people who shop here and use our streets. The other thing is if you go, can we bring up the 10-year actual funding for Street Fund 101? It raises some questions in my mind. And I don't know if you can answer them tonight or if you want to, staff maybe would go back and review those. But for instance, if you look at this retail sales tax here, these are different numbers based upon actual sales in the, of that half cent sales tax that was actually spent here in Othello. But since 2007, A static number, 460,000, has been used. And I don't understand whether that is the actual number that exactly was spent every year, or if that was just what you guys just decided to budget out of that. That's a question I have. The other one, the source of revenue from the public works allocation, because it's a significant amount of money is going in to the street fund, and I guess I'm not really clear where that money comes from. So maybe Mike, could you answer that?
Sure. Not right now, Mike. Wait until we go to when we get to put back in. Okay. We'll be answering your questions in a few minutes. So we do a public part and then we come back to the city again.
Okay. And then here on the utility tax fund, $300,000 or $400,000 was put in every year except last year. And I'm certain there's an explanation for that. That capital expenditure was put somewhere, because I believe, isn't it 50% now goes to capital expenses? So somewhere in here, you guys allocated that money for something else. And the other thing is, I'm assuming, but just because this is where our actual funding was, I don't see where any funds came from the general fund, and that the general fund is subsidizing the streets. Okay. Very good.
Okay, thanks.
So again, to reiterate what the chamber thinks is that yes, we agree you need to do some things and take some kind of action, And our suggestion is that you look at paving, prioritize paving First Avenue and also using the 0.2% sales tax. Okay?
Thank you. Any other citizens? Bob, go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Bob Fuller, 1307 East Juniper. I hadn't planned on speaking tonight, but a couple of things caught my attention. When Eamon was over at the senior center, he pointed out the fact that if the $20 fee is attached to all vehicles that are registered within the city, one of the factors would be that people who have a post office box here at the post office would also be charged the $20. Now, a lot of the people who have post office boxes over here don't live within the city. I find that a fault. It goes back to the origin of this country, taxation without representation. Going back to the fact that $20 fee on all the vehicles listed on your sheet here, I personally can think of two ways of beating your system. But on the other hand, my wife and I have volunteered around the Pacific Northwest with the Forest Service and with other agencies as campground hosts. And I've been in cities, I'll name one of them, Orofino, Idaho. Direct your attention that if you go in the back streets of Orofino, which is the county seat for Clearwater County in Idaho, those streets are in terrible condition. If that's what you want here in Othello, you're welcome. That's your privilege. But on the other hand, if you want a community that's viable, that puts a good foot forward to the people who potentially have want to locate their businesses here, when they come into this community and they see busted up streets, that's not going to put a very good foot forward. My suggestion is don't go with the $20 fee because you're going to end up taxing people who don't have representation. Number two, I think the 0.2% tax on sales would be the fair and equitable way to go about it for everybody that uses the streets here, not only the 7,000 plus people that live within the city limits, but also the 7,000 plus people that live in the panhandle. My recommendation to the city council is that you pursue and look very diligently at putting that tax, that sales tax forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Anybody else? Maxine?
Is anyone here tonight?
Maxine, could you do your name and address again?
Oh, again?
Yeah, thanks.
Maxine Taylor, 901 South Taylor Road.
Go ahead.
Can you tell me when you believe this, the utility tax was passed, what year it was passed? And I would like to state to you that I was involved, although not on the side of the Honorable Mr. Muscat, when that was passed, and that utility tax was specifically for capital facilities. At the time, North Broadway, the fire truck, and then later on, the bonds for City Hall. And slowly but surely, the figures have changed until the streets, as you can see, didn't get any for a number of years from utility tax. I'm just asking you why that is, and secondly, Eamon made the statement that once you put it in the fund, for a transportation district, it can never be used for anything else. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you that when that utility tax was passed by the city council and approved, that's exactly what we were told, that it would never be used for anything else but capital facilities. And that is not the case today. Thank you.
Thank you, Maxine. Anybody else? Jerry?
I was going to go last. You sure there's not somebody else?
I have no idea.
My name is Billy Lyman. I live at 907 East Larch. Lived here for 49 years. I listened to the testimony, and you know, it's interesting that after studying this information that I got from the last meeting that gave input, that our feelings kind of came together here on this TBD. I did have a few questions, and I know the council won't answer them, but perhaps I could get an answer from the city administrator or someone. One thing that I did talk to some other people, and they said that it was brought up last time that, for example, sewer repair, water repair, and street repair, people, I don't know if it goes together or not, we didn't think it did. According to the law, if this is dedicated for streets, this money, whether it be the 0.2% or the $20, you would think it would be utilities that would pay for the sewer pipes and the water pipes. True, you have to tear up the street to get at them, but then the street fund would kick in to replace the street. And we had, there was a question about that. A number of people asked me. I don't have the answer. One thing, and I realize it's the state law made in 2005, but I really feel, and this is no criticism of anyone in this room, I really feel that the way this thing was set up was not proper. When a council could set it up, or an entity could set it up, that same entity also controls it, and nobody else has a say on it. There could be a conflict of interest there. Could be. I'm not saying it would be, and this gentleman said that the auditors check it out yearly. Well, they audited this guy down there, sold $1 million, and it worked for the county in Franklin County here in Arkansas. So anyway, it could be a conflict there. This, remember now, I'm not going to be here, or you're not going to be here forever, but other people are going to deal with your decision. After looking at this, I advocated last time that it would be more fair if we had a county TBD. And the county, of course, is not into this thing, so it's strictly for the city. And at that time, I looked at the fairness. The first speaker mentioned about the people living within the city limits, not paying and whatnot. And it would appear to me, rather than a $20 sales or a $20 license increase fee, that the 0.2% use tax would be a better, more equitable to everybody. And I think also it would be more money coming into the city from people from out of town. Now, the reason I say this, I shop in Tri-Cities like maybe quite a few of you folks do, and they have the Ben Transit Franklin that I have to pay for, and they have the law enforcement firefighters that they raise the tax that I have to pay for. And we still go there because sometimes it's limited shopping here. And we pay for this. And if other folks come into the city, they'll sell. And I'm thinking of the Crane Festival, all the ball players. It might be a more reasonable approach than just the folks within the city limits paying $20 or $4,804 licenses on vehicles. So I agree with the other folks that think that that's the best avenue with the council business side. One legislature, and the administrator said that it fell through. Well, it did, but it couldn't be revived. This coming legislature making it $40. And my question is this: if it does become $40, could the council arbitrarily just raise it to $40 since the TBD district is established? Well, I don't have that answer. Maybe Mr. Ingram can make a show to tell me. I think other than that, that's about all I have to say. I would hope that the council considered all our testimony here and considered what would be best for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone else? Okay, then I'll close the public comment time. Okay, does staff want to respond to public comments?
Mike, did you want to address that
$300,000? Sure. The
utility tax, is that what you're talking about? Eamon?
I'm sorry?
The $300,000 utility tax, is that what you're talking about? Or?
No, the question that Mike started to answer earlier was...
What is the Public Works allocation?
Allocation, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Prior to the Public Works allocation, salaries and benefits and supplies and everything were paid out of each fund. So we had the, and it looked like we had the water fund, sewer fund, we had the solid waste fund, and the street fund, and park and recreation. So every time a bill came in to Public Works, they had to break it out by some percentage. And they had to do all this by hand. It got pretty onerous. So they contracted with a company to develop a system. So we took all of this, they took, I wasn't hearing this out. They took all of the salary and benefits out of those other funds. And it's, and all of that now is central in the street fund. So the street fund has a what they call an Acela program, and they feed daily, they feed information into that. So when a worker goes out and he works in the parks for a little bit, he'll work in water for a little bit, he might work in sewer for a little bit, etc. At the end of the day, he kind of generalizes what he did, how many hours he thinks he spent in those different places. All of the Public Works employees do the same thing. And this information is fed into the Acela program, and then at the end of the month, it does a calculation, and it says the street fund, the water fund owes the street fund this much, the sewer fund owes them this much, and the park and rec fund owe them this much. And so that's where that money comes from. That's called, we call that the Public Works allocation. I might just comment as well on the, you mentioned the utility tax. The utility tax ordinance, the last time it was changed to give the general fund 50% of what came into the fund. And the other 50% is for capital and for debt service. Okay. It does not specify that that capital will go into the street fund. It's just simply capital. It has to be something that I believe is over $25,000. That's considered capital in that fund. In those particular years, council chose to divert that money to the street fund for projects that were in the street fund. The year in 2011, when it was not transferred, there were other things going on in other funds and other capitals that had to be taken care of. So it would have been diverted to something different. I think that answers the question.
I think you also asked about why we have a static number of 460,000.
Okay, the static number for 460. I'll take full responsibility for that. When I came here, so 2007 would have been my first budget. And then you see from that point on, it's pretty static. Well, I did not know about Ordinance 722 in the House Act 6. I just learned about that in the last couple of months. And so that's the reason it's static. I could go back and, I'll just give you the answer. That's the answer.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Oh, Eamon, you want to address some of the stuff? Sorry.
Mayor, there are some good questions that were asked tonight, and some of them take some depth and time, so we'd like to be able to respond in writing to these to both the public and the council.
Okay. Is there any you can answer right now that you're aware of, or not really? I don't know what you have down there.
Well, obviously, one or two very simple ones from Mr. Lyman were the sewer and water repairs. Who pays for that? Those are dedicated funds, as you know. Both water and sewer are enterprise funds that they pay for their own. They cannot be used for other things, so like park toys or something out of sewer and water. The other question was if, and these are just the simple ones, if the legislature raised the $20 to $40, could the council also follow suit? Once you establish a rate, you have to go out to the voters to increase it.
Okay. So on the TBD, that money can only be used for streets, correct?
Yes.
Not for sewer, not for water underneath the streets, not, we may do that work before we put the roads back in.
Correct.
But, so the citizens understand that, because we always try to, if we have issues under the street, we repair them before we do the street work. You know, it's crazy to go out there and leave old lines in there and watch the water come to the top after the vibrators run over the top of it for the new roads being put in. So like Main Street, everything was replaced underneath it. So when we do these other streets, we evaluate the lines underneath them and whether they need to be changed. So that's what we do. We evaluate them, and if they need to be changed, we get them torn back out and replaced. But anything else you can answer right now without research?
The rest of them will take some explanation.
Okay.
Some depth to them, so we'll answer it right.
Okay. Does any council members have comments or questions at this time? Okay, I will now close the public hearing at 8:08. And I want to thank everybody for coming, and you're welcome to stay for the rest of the council meeting. Okay. Petition to annex. Daryl.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. You have before you a petition for annexation to the city of Othello from a property owner located just east of town. The petition is signed by Naomi Hampton on behalf of R.A. Hampton, LLC. The property in question is shown in your packet on the map, but in general, the area is off of south of Cemetery Road and just east of the existing school, elementary school site. The proposal is to annex property at the same property boundary as the school site, which is this line right here.
Excuse me, Darrell. Oh, okay, they're done. Never mind. I was going to ask them to go outside and talk, but go ahead now.
Okay. Generally, just to again keep you in perspective, this is 14. This is about where Scootney Street will enter the school site, the intersection of Scootney, which comes along and eventually will come along this property boundary. And this area here is the area that is proposed for annexation. Now, the annexation process is really a two-step process in the way this is being presented. One is to either accept or reject the petition for annexation, which is the issue before you this evening. Should you choose to accept this petition for annexation, you would then set a public hearing to consider the merits of the annexation and to whether or not you would choose to actually annex the property into the city and under what terms and conditions that annexation might take place. So the issue before you this evening is simply, is this something that, as a council, you're interested in pursuing? Do you want to accept the petition? or is it something that you're not interested in which case you would reject the petition? You have that authority without any particular basis or reason under the way the process works. If you just choose not to accept the petition, you, that is within your authority. But if you choose to move forward, we'll set a public hearing, and we've suggested the date of May 14th, which is a regular council meeting, and we would provide for opportunity for public notification if we were to have that date established. So the issues before you for consideration, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions from council?
I have one question on, Mike, if you could scroll up to the next map. And then go, make it go back down to the very top of it.
Down to 26, Mike.
Yeah, no, that's right, wait. Okay, right there. That line that you're pointing at, why is that line way down there instead of at Cemetery Road?
There's actually a separate parcel that's been established at this point, and that has previously been annexed into the city.
Okay.
And I believe it was done for utility purposes and maybe some other purpose, but my analysis and the study of this was that this was taken in to serve some utility work. So it would actually be this area of the lot in question that would actually be the subject of the annexation.
Okay. I just wasn't clear on that because it looked like we were annexing that portion without that portion. But
the first map looks like the entire square, and that's why we did include the second map, just to make that clarification. So that's a very good observation point.
Any other questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to accept the petition for annexation submitted by the R.A. Hampton, set public hearing for May 14th, 2012, to provide for public testimony and consideration of the annexation requested by council? Ken Kaler first.
Second.
Mark Snyder second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same? Okay, then that passes. Thank you, Daryl. Okay. Okay, 4.3, extraterritorial utility agreement for sewer services. Kenneth Pierce, Debbie.
Thank you. Several utility agreements were entered into between 1983 and 1987, and they had a term of 25 years. What you see on the screen is property known as Meadow Lane Water Association. And this is on Cunningham Road. Town is up here. Carry down and going to the sewer lagoons are way down here. So they are a water association. About 18 of those properties have sewer systems that will fail. As those 25-year terms come about, then we come to council and ask for your consideration to approve an extraterritorial agreement for sewer services. The one that we're presenting tonight is for Kenneth Pierce, and it's his property right here. This was entered into in 1987. It does expire this year. It's property known as 2227 West Cunningham Road. They're located on West Cunningham, west of Taylor Road. The sewer line is in the right-of-way on Cunningham Road. They are not included in the Adams County Water District. They're beyond that. These homes and this property itself has been on the sewer system already for 25 years, so there's no new impact to the city's sewer system. The engineer's estimate for a normal household is 120 gallons of discharge per day per person. Public Works approves of the continuation of the agreement, and also staff's recommendation is for council to approve the extraterritorial agreement. The budget, their current monthly sewer rate is $38.52 per month, which is 1.5 times the sewer rate for people inside the city limits. Our recommendation is that council carry a motion to approve the extraterritorial agreement with Kenneth J. Pierce for sewer services. I met with him recently. He has signed the extraterritorial agreement. You have copies of those in board docs.
Any questions for Debbie from council? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the extraterritorial agreement with Kenneth J. Pierce for sewer services?
Second.
Okay, Gina first.
Second.
Who was second? Dan, you were second? Okay. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. Thank you. Okay, let me get this one up. Come on. 4.4, proclamation declaring National Prayer Day. Whereas on April 17, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as National Day of Prayer. And whereas a National Day of Prayer has great significance for all of us as a nation, and whereas at this important time in our history, we also pray for the brave members of our armed forces and their families, for their safety, for the recovery of the wounded, and for the peace that we all seek. Now therefore, I, Tim Wilson, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 3rd, 2012, as the National Day of Prayer in Othello. I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in special observance. Signed this 23rd day of April 2012. And, you know, I want our citizens also, if you know somebody that's been in the military, thank them. You know, it's a big dedication. You know, they put their lives, their future, their families, everything on the line. So if you know some of those people, thank them and pray for them on that day also. So, thank you. Okay, 4.5, ordinance to amend the Othello Municipal Code 2.04, titled Council Meetings. Okay, what we're doing here is we passed the new council rules and or procedures and conduct, and this affected this right here, so we need to make it consistent with the recently passed rules that we just did. Is there any discussions or anything on that? Nothing? Okay, give me a second to get there. I gotta get there in my... Once it gets there, come on. Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the ordinance to amend OMC 2.04? Okay, Charles first.
Second.
Okay, Ken Johnson second. Any questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great. That passes then. Okay. Do we have any old business? New business? Okay, then we do have too much paper on my desk is what I got. Look at that. All right, mayor's announcements. The beautification committee, in conjunction with the city, will have two previews of their initial concept design of that section of Main Street from 12th to 14th Avenues on Monday, May 7th, at both 1:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. during the council meeting. The public is welcome to comment during these previews. And also, I'd like to ask the council members to leave their laptops. We have some more things to put on them and update. And we'll also receive department heads' reports for March. Is there any questions there by council? Yes. Okay, go ahead, Ken.
I would like to thank everybody for our ribbon cutting that we had out here for our Cooley Corridor South Gateway sign. I know we had the paper there, and we had several dignitaries there, and I just want to thank them for being there for our ribbon cutting.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming.